Start with an illustration, and these that are remaining will be at the back. So we have a balloon. Hands up if you've ever had a balloon. Good, a number of you. That's all right. Can I just check, is anybody allergic to latex? No? Good. I have to do the health and safety. Okay. So balloons, you have to inflate, don't you? You don't leave them like that. If you do, that's not the most exciting object. You have to inflate it. You put air into it, and it inflates. It grows. It expands. I'm not going to go anymore. So, why have I blown up this balloon? Well, I thought it'd be a good visual demonstration of what a build-up of faith looks like, especially as we are going to continue to look at Joshua. Faith. Sorry, shouting down the microphone. Faith is more than a response to a favourable report. Faith is more than a response to a favourable report. After the spies had returned with their encouraging report, informing the people that the inhabitants of Jericho and the peoples of the surrounding nations were terrified of them, Joshua, early the next morning, told the people, right, we're going to break camp, we're off. We're going ahead towards the Jordan, the River Jordan. The journey from Shittim, or Acacia Grove, which is where they had been camped, from there to the Jordan, would have taken them about a day. But I'm sure that as that day passed quickly for the people, because they were, yeah, we're going to do this. Our reports come back to they're terrified of us. We're going to take them. We're going to kick them out of their land. We've got this. They would have been in good heart. Bit of an upbeat mood, maybe. You know, a bit of a, you know, skipping their step. The upbeat mood, in all likelihood, changed considerably when they arrived at the edge of the Jordan. For they found themselves facing what must have been and seemed to be an insurmountable obstacle. To them, even entering, never mind conquering the land, and that obstacle was the Jordan River itself. Now, according to verse 15, and this is an important piece of information, they had arrived at the edge of the Jordan at the time of the harvest. At this time of year, when the Jordan River always overflows its banks. It always does. And engulfs the surrounding floodplains. This floodplain was packed with tangled bushes, thick undergrowth, and when the river was in full flood, as it was at this time, it stretched over a mile wide. Usually it's about 100 feet when it's just contained within the river banks, but when it goes to the floodplains, you're looking about a mile wide and could be anything up to 12 feet deep. This was no longer a meandering, slowly floating down the river type. This was a river in flood. What this means is that the river that ran between the eastern plains where the children of Israel were and the western plains, which comprised of the land of Canaan, the promised land that they were aiming to get to, was divided by this massive river. It wasn't placid, wasn't shallow, it wasn't going to be easy to cross. Not like possibly the River Glen here, or you might think of other local rivers. It was in fact a raging torrent, full of dense undergrowth, perilous currents. It was too wide, too deep, and far too dangerous to swim across. There were no bridges. There were no bridges. There was not even a local ferry to get across. What were they going to do? You know, there was a million people that had to get across. Many of them old, many of them very young. Together with all their animals, all their livestock, how are they going to do it? From being initially encouraged by the spies' reports and enthusiastic about the prospect of taking possession of Canaan, the children of Israel's enthusiasm must have been greatly deflated. When they saw this obstacle that lay before them. And do you know what? It wasn't like, oh, great. They then had 3 days camping next to it to observe it, to think, it's not improving. It's not improving. In fact, it's looking worse. So they had plenty of time sitting on the bank, looking at this seemingly impossible situation. God had brought them into a situation that anyone on their human level would have thought, this is impossible. We can't overcome this. A situation in which the people must have felt totally helpless. Totally helpless. Perhaps we know what this feeling is like. Maybe you have felt helpless. Perhaps you faced a life-changing experience. Loss of a loved one. A serious illness. Breakdown of a relationship. Maybe you flunked an important exam. Maybe the stresses of life are just mounting up on you. And you are thinking, I can't do it. Maybe you've had times like the people here when you've just felt completely and utterly helpless. In these sorts of scenarios, perhaps we could be left thinking, why did God do this? Considering the journey that the people of Israel have made, they would be possibly thinking, why did God do this? Why now? Why did he bring them to the border of Canaan just as the time of year when the river was in flood? Why? Why didn't he bring them to the edge of the river when it was in, you know, when it was really low? Because there are places where you can cross that river when it's got water in. Because, the depth of the water varies. And there are places where you could have forded over the river. But not at this time of the year. It would have been much easier for them to cross then. If God had got his timings right, they would not have had to face this problem. They would not be in this seemingly impossible situation. Do you know that? They wouldn't be in a seemingly impossible situation. Well, the fact of the matter was that God had got his timing just perfect. Just perfect. Because he had a purpose in bringing the people to the Jordan at this time. Perhaps for us, the same can be true. He wanted to test their faith. And I believe this is still true with us today. God seeks to test our faith. He wanted to see if they would trust him and believe in him and hold on to the promises that he'd laid out before them. Maybe he's laid out promises to you. Keep the trust. Keep the faith in God. Their forefathers had failed the test 40 years previously. Was this generation any better? Was their faith any stronger? Not only that, God also wanted to strengthen their faith for the days ahead. The way in which they were going to conquer Jericho required great faith. How much easier it would be for them to trust God and exercise such faith as they look back at this crossing of the Jordan. They could then reason, if God was with us then and exercised his power on our behalf, we believe that he will do it for us now as we attack Jericho. And you know, not only that, I believe another purpose for God bringing them to the Jordan at this time. It was not only caused them to feel their own helplessness in this situation, but also to manifest and magnify his greatness and power by bringing them through this difficulty, by causing them to overcome this seemingly insurmountable obstacle, and by proving himself sufficient for any and every crisis in their life. Because that's what God can do. So here you have the children of Israel standing on the brink of a wonderful blessing. But before they enter into and enjoy those blessings, God brings them into a situation which tests their faith in him and in his promises. Growing in our faith is more than just responding to positive evidence. It's about growing in our dependence of God, which is what God's people needed to do. They had to step into the water. Faith. Faith is going out, trusting we are not left to do it alone, even in the hard times. Verse 7 and 8 and 13, God gives his instructions to Joshua, which was to step into the water. To step into the water. Though the sight before them was overwhelming, Joshua obediently declared what was to happen. Right, everybody, we're going to step out into the water. Priests, you're going to go first. We're going to follow. The need to show faith and step into the water of this swollen river. The commanders come, bring the ark out to the front of the people. It would go ahead of them. It would take them and lead the path. Let me give you a little history. The ark was about 4 foot by 2 foot chest, carried around by the Israelites with a golden slab on top, 2 angels on either side. In the middle of it was something called the mercy seat. And inside lay 2 slabs with the 10 commandments recorded on it. And as they journeyed, other things get added to it. Now, I want you to pay attention to what God commanded them to do with it. God said, take this object and put it out in front of you. God said to Joshua, put the ark in front of the line and face the raging river of Jordan. The guide to the great unknown was the ark, because they'd never been there before. God says, you've not been there, I'm going to lead you there. Do you know what? Maybe there's situations in your life where you think, I don't know what's going on, but God's been there. God is going to lead you. God will direct your path. The ark was symbolic of God's presence among the people of Israel. And notice how God uses this object to lead the people. The ark is mentioned 10 times in chapter 3. And God said to them, when the ark moves, keep your eye on it. When the ark moves, go after it, because you've never gone this way. And you will need a little help. This was a dramatic change from the wanderings of the 40 years previous. During this time, the ark had always been in their midst. But the quiet... But they quit regarding it. They stopped talking about it. They had possession of it. But that wasn't enough. God had them reposition it. Instead of it being in their midst, God said, put it out in front. Follow it. Put it out in front. Follow it. God said, don't just drag it along like excess baggage. It's not just excess baggage. It is vitally important. Put it out in front and let it lead the way. What a difference a little repositioning makes. Instead of having the ark in the back of the line or in the middle of the line to protect it, God said, put it out in front of you and let it protect you. Can I say something about this? We can take from here a lesson. The ark represents God, represents God's presence. Some say it's a picture of what Jesus offers us. Now think of it. When we put Jesus out in front of us and make him our leader, think of the sense of direction we could have. Allowing Christ to assume his rightful position in our lives will ultimately lead us to victory. Jesus Christ is more than just a possession. He's a person with a great position. We can face all the delays, difficulties, and obstacles and still cross over and have the victory. Instead of him just being out there among us, we need to allow him to be out in front of us as our Lord. He is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. He needs to be more than a resident. He needs to be president. What a difference it makes when the Christ that abides comes to preside. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So the people follow the ark. And as we can see in 14 to 16, their faith in God is proven true, isn't it? For as they followed the ark and those... Cheers. Thank you. As they followed the ark and those carrying it, they crossed on the dry riverbed. The people exercised faith, and this faith brought them safely to the other side, into the land promised to their descendants. Now, that picture's not quite right, because that the bank in water actually was a lot further upriver. There was a good distance of clear, because actually a million people trying to cross a river, you're not going to need like, oh, a little narrow bit. You're going to need quite a large amount of space to do this. So this river was backed up by Adam, which is quite a long way up from where they were crossing. But it still took faith. It still took faith because ultimately the people started crossing, didn't they? They started journeying across this riverbed. I don't know about you, but I'd be thinking, do I want to be at the front? I'm going to run for it to make sure I'm across. Or am I going to be at the back just to keep... If there's a million people trying to cross, where are you going to position yourself? Where are you going to trust God? Where's your faith going to be with that? I'll be thinking, About 30 people have gone. Yeah, they're okay. They're now a third of the way across. I'm going to go now. Because you just don't know, do you? Because it's a long, the river is stacked up a long way away. But they had the faith that that's what was meant to be happening. Joshua said that the ark and the priests were going to stand in the middle, and it was dry ground, and it would remain there until they've all crossed. They exercised their faith. It grew a little bit and a little bit. Though they had positive reports to inspire them to move forward, they still, as we have seen, had obstacles to face. Yet faith in God and faith in God's words was revealed through the actions of those leading the people. Joshua and the priests, they had to exercise faith first because they were leading the people. The priest carrying the ark had to put their feet in the water first. But once they had done that, once they had exercised their bit of faith, God did the rest. God did the rest. It wasn't because the priest was saying, they weren't blowing. God did it. They just had to step out and say, look, okay, I trust you, God. I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, which is to put my foot forwards and step into that water. And God did the rest. From this, from following the lead as they stepped out, the people followed. This demonstration of faith provides the people with a point of reference. Because they go, he's done it once, he'll do it again. It built on the stories that they'd heard, because obviously they would have heard stories about crossing the Red Sea when the originals were descendants were led out. This was a building confidence for them. Because they had other things to come. As we will discover as we follow this series. As you look on into chapter 4, there's a point to remember. Because at the beginning, before they crossed the thing, Joshua had to choose 12 people, get 12. There was no explanation as to why. But as we enter chapter 4, the reason comes back. Right, you 12, you're going to go back and you're going to pick some stones out. Not little things, you've got to be quite big. And you're going to then carry them to where we camp. And they carry them to Gilgal, where they camped, and put a monument, which was a place where they would remember what God, their God, had done. And it wasn't just for them, it was for their generations, for their children, to be reminded. To be reminded of all that God did. The fact they were given confidence to trust God. Do you know what? In our lives, there are points when we may remember, I remember when God did that for me. They are faith-building. They are faith-building, and it is good to remember. It is good to remember. But to recognize that God moves forward. We mustn't just live in the past. We have to step up and say, I'm with you. Because faith, it does sometimes leak out. It does. But we have to step up and say, God, I am putting my faith in you again. Build me up. And that's what I want for us as a church. I want to be built up. I want us to be built up. Because our God is the only God. Our God is the one who spoke and things came into being. Our God caused the River Jordan to stop. Our God stopped the sun in the sky. That's our God. That's my God. Is it your God? Do you have faith in him? Because he says, if we have faith, we can move mountains. How amazing would that be? To move a mountain. It would do the geographers nutting, but it would be amazing. But, you know, if that's what God's saying, we've got to have faith to do that. We can have faith to do many things. Let us consider. You know, we have a God in action through this story. And we have a God in action in our lives too. The faith we have isn't just built from positive reports. Okay? The faith we have isn't just built on positive reports of what is to come, but through venturing forward with God through many varied obstacles. Having the confidence to step into the water. Life is hard. It's not easy. But we've got God, and let's have that confidence to step out. Trust him for our future. And we can look back and celebrate how faithful God is. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God in action, and that you cause us to take little steps of action. But in doing so, you are then set free to reveal how great, how mighty, how wonderful you are. Lord, we thank you for what we have seen in your word. May it encourage us, inspire us to grow in our faith and to know that we are your people and you have plans to prosper and not to harm us. Amen.